Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the show dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in today. Recently, Dr. Steve Parr had the opportunity to interview Randy Mullinax, who's the pastor at First Southern Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, and he used to work on staff here at the Georgia Baptist Convention. They were talking about making your top attended Sundays more evangelistic. Listen in as Steve talks to Randy.
Randy Mullinax, we're so glad to have you back with us again this week from Arizona. Welcome, brother.
It's good to be with you.
Well, let me just kind of review a little bit for those who haven't been with us. We're talking about taking your top attended Sundays and making them more evangelistic. Now, Randy, Sunday morning is not an event, but is there some correlation between what we do with evangelistic events like a wild game dinner, or if someone did a revival services or a vacation Bible school? Is there any correlation between those type of events and what we can do sometimes on Sunday mornings?
I think so. I really do, Steve. I think that the planning part, the praying part, the way we welcome people, a lot of those have some common characteristics. I know that there are a lot of people who talk about, you know, it's a worship experience, it's a worship service, it's not just an event. And I understand that and I agree with that wholeheartedly. But any time God's people gather together, we have an expectancy of God doing great things. We prayed about it, we've sought the heart of God, we prepared our hearts, and it is an experience for the lost and unchurched people to come to worship service where the Spirit of God is manifest, where they see God doing great things. So we really work hard on the worship service just like any other special event that we try and do.
Okay, Randy, it's a high attendance day. When I say that, not high attendance in terms of getting the most people you can. It's just one of those days during the year when more people tend to show up. I'll give you an example. The week the school starts back, I don't know if you've noticed, seems like just more people show up because people are home from vacation, school's back in session. Taking a Sunday like that, what do you do to emphasize evangelism during a Sunday like that?
Okay. We try and start with where the people are, knowing what they're going through, knowing that it's a fresh start for school, knowing that it's like a new beginning. It's a new season in this life. It's the challenges that they're going to be facing going to school. It's mothers who are taking their children to school for the first time, or their children are getting ready to do their senior year, and then they're going to be gone. We try and look at whatever the people are going through and then take the gospel message and apply that to what they're facing or what that experience is going to be like for them.
Let me ask you, on your top attended Sunday mornings, those three or four or five times a year when the attendance tends to go up, two areas. Do you do anything different about registration of guests? And do you do anything different about the invitation that you give at the end of your sermon? Let's take those one at a time. How about registration, first of all? Do you do anything different on those Sundays? Or do you recommend anything for those pastors listening in?
Our connection ministry really, on those higher attendance Sundays, really goes into overdrive. We make sure we have people out in the parking lots. We make sure that a person does not have to guess how to get into the building. We make sure that they're welcome when they drive onto the property, and that they're introduced by first name. They instantly develop a relationship, bring them in. We never let them wander through without knowing where to go. We take the stance that a lot of them probably don't know where to go. They're a little uncomfortable. What should I do? So we prepare ahead of time to answer all those questions within the first 10 minutes that they're on our campus.
And you said connection team. That sounds like your greeter teams.
It's our greeter team. We call it connection ministry here. It's our greeter. It's our assimilation ministry. We just make sure that that's ramped up on those special days, even more so than normal.
Well, how about the invitation itself at the conclusion of your sermon? Do you do anything, any variations there for those higher attended Sundays?
It depends on the Sunday. It depends on the service. But we certainly try and offer not just one way to respond, but multiple ways. I was listening to a Billy Graham classic crusade this past weekend, and back in 1971, He was talking about the fact that Jesus always called people publicly. And I know that in different churches, they don't have so much a public response time. But we try and offer multiple. We have invitations at the conclusion of the service for people to come forward and visit with a counselor or a pastor. We also have connection cards as a part of the worship guide or bulletin. And we take the offering at the end of the service so they can mark a response or write a question and place that in the offering plate and follow up with them then. And also as they're leaving, we have people at the doors making them welcome. If there's any questions, please don't hesitate to let us know. And then the pastors make themselves available as well.
Randy, I know you're always diligent in leading your church to do good follow-up. How about follow-up as it relates to these high-attended Sundays, your top-attended Sundays during the year?
I learned a long time ago in Vacation Bible School that preparing and planning for follow-up is just as important as preparing and planning the event itself. Because we have so many people involved in the worship experience itself, we sometimes try and create a whole different team that will kick in as soon as that service is over. And we have it planned out where these guests are visited within the first 24 hours. Certainly no more than 32 hours, but within the first 24 hours, these guests have a front door, 1 minute, here's a gift, thank you for attending our church, and that's the beginning. And then small groups follow up with that. We try and have all that lined up so that we don't try and play catch-up after the event.
That's excellent, Randy. Listen, you've been so helpful, and I so much appreciate your friendship and the time you've spent helping pastors, not just here in Georgia, but all those in our listening audience, to do a better job on their top attended Sundays, because there are those seasonal flows, and we need to take advantage of those seasons that we have when the attendance goes up. So, brother, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again down the road.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to Steve Parr interview Randy Mullinax, pastor at First Southern Baptist Church, Tucson, Arizona. After the break, Steve, Mark Merritt, and I will come back and we'll continue to talk about how to make your top attended Sundays more evangelistic here on Network.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life,
I depended on my money and success. I had it all, but I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a
personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and with me in studio today is my colleague, Steve Parr, and Mark Merritt. Steve, last week we started a five-point planning plan, I guess, for top-attended Sundays. We got through three of those. What have we covered so far? Review that plan with us.
Sure, Joel. We talked about last week that any pastor go through these steps when planning your top-attended Sundays. Put together a prayer plan. Secondly, put together an inviting plan, how to engage your members in inviting guests. Thirdly, put together a welcoming or a greeter plan. And fourthly, put together a preaching plan. Fifthly, a follow-up plan. Now, last week we got through the greeting plan. Why don't you share with us your experience on putting together a preaching plan?
Well, I think I mentioned a little bit just for a moment last week about a preaching calendar. And I didn't do that early on in my ministry, but in later years I started working on the preaching calendar. And Steve, what I did was just take the end of the year, the fall time, and I put a spreadsheet, put every Sunday, a.m. and p.m. on the year, and just started planning out my preaching. And I did that. It was real helpful in a couple of ways. The first thing I do is go through and black out the days I was not preaching or the Sunday nights when something else was going on. And so that really let me get the year into focus. And then I put the holidays on there and knew I'd preach a Mother's Day sermon or a family sermon on that day. Put Christmas in and knew I'd be preaching Christmas beginning that usually the second week in December. So when I put all those, I hate to call them mandatory Sundays in there, it kind of let me bring the rest of the year into focus.
Joel, let me ask a quick question if I can jump in. Did you also schedule Harvest Sundays in your preaching calendar?
Yeah, so what I did, Mark, was I would plan a series, say in January, that God had laid on my heart the year before, and maybe it was 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. And before I jumped into my next series, I would use a Sunday in between there to do a harvest day or a special evangelistic day or something along those lines. I really learned that from Adrian Rogers, who talked about sermons and things like that, that while he was in the midst of a series, when he other things God laid on his heart, he would use a few Sundays in between series to preach those things.
And Bailey Smith had a good word on that as well a few weeks back.
He did, and he planned those evangelistic days. And I became very aware in the later years there at Liberty and Dalton of a preaching calendar and working in. For example, one of the things you've got to do is on Easter, I was always advertising my next sermon series that was coming up, and usually it was a family series. And I learned from someone along the way, don't end a series on Easter. Maybe even start a new one on Easter or be in the middle of one on Easter so that those guests kind of know where you are when they come back the Sunday after Easter. And that helps you plan the invitation. If I needed to give a specific kind of invitation that maybe wasn't a walk down the aisle or I want to have certain materials on hand, when you do that preaching calendar, it helps with the preaching, the invitation, so that Big Sunday doesn't catch you off guard. So we've talked about praying, inviting, greeting, preaching, giving an invitation. When it's all said and done, we've had guests there, decisions have been made, and about half the work is finished.
That's right. Got to follow up or it will go for naught. Here's why. A lot of people who heard your message will not respond that Sunday. If you do a walk forward invitation, we hope you'll be blessed, and sometimes you will. If you do a registration card of some part where they can respond there, some may respond. But, you know, most people don't follow Jesus upon a first hearing of the gospel or nearly they have to hear it, you know, several times and the Holy Spirit begins to work in their lives. So we want to see how we can do that. So let's begin to do some follow-up and a couple of quick tips there. Randy mentioned within 24 hours, and I'm going to give you a little more grace there, pastors. Within 48 hours, they've got to have an initial contact from the church, phone call, a card, a visit, a text, an email, but some social networking connection. But somehow they've got to hear from the church. That's the first thing I say. Within 48 hours, so important. If you wait 3 weeks, you've lost the momentum already.
Right.
Second thing I would say is multiple contacts that week. In other words, make sure they get a letter from the pastor mailed out on Monday morning, a phone call from a small group or Bible study leader on Monday night. If you do visitation, we encourage that. But once in, not every church does. But if you do visitation, visit them on Tuesday night or Monday night. Again, it's social networking. If you can tweet or Facebook or somehow connect with them or email somebody. But the reason you do that, if you call them, they may not be home. If you visit, they may not be home. If you do multiple approaches, one of them is more likely to connect with that person. And it's just say, hey, thanks for being there, to reconnect. And you look for opportunities to minister and also to continue to share the gospel. And then one other thing I would say in that context, it's very important that the ultimate that you would do is that you would break bread with that person. Now, I don't know who it's going to be. It may be a deacon, a Bible study leader. And pastor, understand you can't do this unless you only had one guest. But engage your members in inviting those who visited out to dinner the following weekend or to come and have lunch with you the following Sunday after church. It's amazing how strong breaking bread, it's biblical, is in terms of connecting people with you and to your congregation.
Something very relational about that, isn't there, Steve?
It really is personable, relational, and goes a long way. Why? We want them to hear the gospel again, Joel. And if we don't follow up, they may or may not come back. We've got to let them know that we enjoyed having them. And I like what Randy and I think, Joel, you said earlier, I know recently we had a big event in our church, and first thing I said to our guests is, make yourself at home. I want you to just feel like you're a member today and make them feel comfortable being there.
Right. Mark, we have talked about greeting, praying, inviting, preaching, follow-up. For the pastor who says, I don't have a lot of money, what do you say to him?
I would say everything that we have said in the last 2 weeks doesn't cost you a dime. And for more information, for PowerPoints, for more in-depth material, go to our website. We have all kind of free resources on there.
Not only does it not cost a dime, think about this. A third grader can do this. A third grader can pray, can invite, can do these things. A third grader can make a follow-up postcard to a peer. A 98-year-old can do some of these things. It's not dependent on age, not based on education, not based on income.
A novice Christian can do these things.
A new Christian, experienced Christian. That's what's great about this plan. We're not giving you something that's unattainable, but you've got to be intentional. There's the bottom line.
Sure. Well, that's a 5-point plan that any pastor and church can follow. And as Mark just said, go to evangelismga.com. You'll find a host of resources there. Gentlemen, in closing, we got two dates on the calendar next year that we want everyone to have marked off in reserve. Mark, what are those dates?
February the 25th and 26th of 2013 at the First Baptist Church of Douglasville, Georgia.
That's right. That's our State Evangelism Conference, a Monday and a Tuesday. Steve, give them a little advertisement of who's going to be there.
Well, here's just some of the speakers. We're going to have Fred Luter, Jeff Orge, Ken Hemphill, Robert Smith, Amir Kanner, Jerry Vines, Johnny Hunt, and I'm just getting started. It's a power-packed lineup.
It is going to be a great, great 2 days, an informative 2 days, an inspirational 2 days, motivational 2 days. Now, Steve, a lot of our pastors have been to the Evangelism Conference, but a lot have not probably in the past. Is it just for preachers, or can they bring anyone?
This conference is for leaders, pastors, staff, church laymen who are leaders. Pastor, you would do it. Bring people with you, especially if you live in the area. If you're outside the area, please come into Douglasville, Georgia, First Baptist Church, and starting Monday afternoon through Tuesday night, it is going to be outstanding.
Yeah, you may not be able to get it as of right now, but very soon we'll have up some hotel information on there on our website. You can check that out if you want to stay. It'll be worth staying if you can possibly do that. Choirs are going to be there, music evangelists preach. It's just going to be a great, great time for you, Pastor, and we'd love for you to come be a part of that. So make sure you mark it on your calendar, February 25th and 26th, 2013. It is going to be a glorious event. Well, I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in to Network today. Be sure and join us next week at this same time.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.